This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Hi, and welcome to the 60th episode of my podcast. My name is Jeroen Leenaerts, and I've been developing software for over 19 years, developing iOS apps for over 9 years, and I'm running Dutch CoCats for over 8 years. If you're an iOS app developer, you should listen to my podcast because it will keep you updated on interesting articles, conferences, and events you might not have heard about. In this episode, I'm going to talk about how to change UI image color in Swift, attempting SonarQube analysis on Xcode Cloud, sorting data with KeyPath Comparator, loading images on iOS 15, using @scene storage with @fetch request, Apple's use of Swift and Swift UI in iOS 15, and of course Donny's Monday Morning Tree. So let's get started. It's an interesting time here in the Netherlands. Last weekend we went to a significant lockdown. Only essential stores are open, so we'll be home with my family for at least a couple weeks, until January 15th actually, so that's almost 4 weeks from now. No Christmas dinners, no Christmas anything really, except things you can do with your own household. So yeah, that's a bit of a bummer to say the least. So next week I'll be off from work. I'll be taking some out of office time, really thinking and considering my options there. My main focus is to make sure that my kids have somewhat of a normal existence, so they can just have fun, be kids, enjoy themselves, which takes some more effort from me and my wife, because especially my oldest, she is very much aware of what's happening here right now, and she's significantly bummed out by everything, because she wants going to school, and she's really enjoying that, and she's really feeling the effects of not being able to lose a lot of physical and mental energy. My youngest, on the other hand, he had his first trial runs at the primary school, and he was supposed to go to school this week for real, like 5 days. But fortunately, it didn't really stick with him. So in his mind, he's now just having a vacation with his sister of 3 weeks, maybe four. And then after that, he will be going to school for real. So he has a much easier time. He's just enjoying himself with his sister present so much all of the time. So we'll see how I'll be like a week from now, and then the week after, and then the week after. And my wife and I would just try to make sure that we keep spirits up, and make sure that everybody is staying healthy. Especially my daughter gets plenty of exercise, lots of walks, just moving around, getting out, spending energy, really. So it's as you can tell, it's a difficult and interesting time right now with COVID in the Netherlands. On that note, let's switch to some other topics. So that's going to be the first article: how to change UI image color in Swift, by Sharun. There are several ways to change the color of an image in iOS, and we usually need to change the color of an icon image to fit a theme or a part of your app. Basically, this is an example of a concept called template rendering. So image rendering with a template rendering mode and tint color. What this allows you to do is to set your tint color to the opaque areas of your image. The transparent areas, they will not be the tint color, and every other pixel will be the tint color. You get like a sort of a template, really, of your original image. But there's also a second way that you can change the color of an image, and that's by tinting the UI image directly. If your app supports minimum version of iOS 13, you're in luck, because you can change the color of an image with just one line of code. So in iOS 13, UI image got two new instance methods that return a new version of the image with a tint color that you specify. The only difference between these two methods is in the first one, you will return an image with a specified rendering mode, whereas the latter returns an image with the same rendering mode as the original image. So these are the with tint color rendering mode and with tint color functions. There's also a way that you can do the same effect pre-iOS 13, but you then have to do the painting yourself. So you have to create a CG context and draw something there and make sure that you clean up everything correctly afterwards. So a lot of convenience has been added in iOS 13, and there are several ways that you can apply a template color, a tint color to your image to make sure that you have like a theme correct image in your app. The next article is by Oliver Binns, attempting SonarQube analysis on Xcode Cloud. SonarQube can be a great tool for finding smells, bugs, and duplications in your code. You can use a combination of SonarQube and SwiftLint to enforce quality standards on a codebase. So these tools can help you ensure developers always meet required standards in their code and can reduce or even prevent the amount of bike shedding on your merge requests. So this article is about implementing SonarQube on a project. They're using SonarCloud, actually. And if you have an open source SDK or an open source app, you can use SonarCloud for free. Just check out their pricing page and see if there's any conditions that apply to your situation or that prevent you from using SonarCloud. What's really nice is to just have an experiment with this and see what SonarCloud can do for you. Because from experience, I know that if you have SonarQube configured correctly, there's a lot of benefit that you can gain from it. Things like coverage reporting, complexity analysis, security issues that are scannable, and it can also provide feedback on those topics on your pull requests. So a lot of convenience once you have it configured. It integrates with Fastlane if you'd like. And I think it's a really powerful tool that you should check out and have a look at to see if this automatic analysis by SonarQube is something that can improve your code base. The next article is a short one by Thomas Vater, and it's called Sorting Data with KeyPath Comparator. KeyPath Comparator was added to Foundation in iOS 15 and macOS 12. The KeyPath Comparator is used by defining a key path which is used for fetching a value for comparison. Values are then compared with a sort comparator, and in the simplest form, we do not need to create the sort comparator yourself, and this comparable comparator is created automatically. But if the value is string, then string standard comparator localized standard is used instead of comparable comparator. That's a lot of comparator in just a short while. So head on over to the article by Thomas and see how you can use the KeyPath comparator in your source code. It's basically an article with three bits of code in there, and they just showcase how you can use the KeyPath comparator in your code. And it's quite simple and straightforward, and it's a nice new small addition to iOS 15 and macOS 12. On pspdfkit.com, there's a nice article on loading images on iOS 15 by Nishant Desai. iOS 15 added a few new APIs for loading images from disk asynchronously and loading images from a remote URL. They're quite easy to use, and it's best to evaluate your code base to see whether or not these APIs can be applied at some point in your code. Because a number of pain points that you've been dealing with pre-iOS 15 have been addressed by these APIs. The asynchronous image loading API can bring down the animation hitches and improve perceived performance. Async image must not be understated. It's a very powerful tool that you can use within Swift UI, and it makes image loading quite a breeze. So in the article, there's a number of examples on how you can actually download and decode an image on the fly on a separate thread so that it doesn't block or hinder the rendering on your main thread. So smooth scrolling, no performance hitches, just an easy way to get images off the network. Maybe they're cached already locally, so that saves some bandwidth, and then get them on the UI. Keith Harrison at UseYourLoaf has an article called Using @SceneStorage with @FetchRequest. If you're having trouble using @SceneStorage to configure a core data @FetchRequest, this is what worked for Keith. So there's a bit of code in his article, and he explains how he's been able to use the scene storage with the fetch request of core data. So the problem is that the scene storage property wrapper restores the state of his search scope, but it's not triggered a correct initialized fetch request to update the list of countries. to update the list of items. So this leaves him with an item list that doesn't match the restored search scope. The problem is that the onChange action is not triggered when the scene storage property wrapper initializes. That means the predicate is not set correctly on the fetch request for the restored search scope. So he's doing some refactoring and making sure that his model aligns better with what SwiftUI expects. So a very worthwhile article to read, because it can prevent you making the same mistake in the future. Alessandro Colucci has an article called Apple's Use of Swift and SwiftUI in iOS 15. iOS 15 was released a few months ago in September 2021, and in his article, Alexandre will analyze the built-in apps of the system, and he will look how many binaries there actually are in iOS 15, which programming language are used to develop these apps, and how many apps are written with Swift. This is a good indicator to tell whether or not Apple has adopted SwiftUI for some of their built-in apps. So the methodology and tools to create this article have been detailed in previous posts by Alexandre, and these posts are also linked from his article. And what's most interesting is that there's 607 binaries using Swift and just 114 binaries using SwiftUI. So there's some more details in there that's quite interesting to have a look at. But the most important number is that there's like very low SwiftUI adoption happening at Apple themselves. So I do wonder once they get to it, how these numbers will look like next year. And basically we're now in a phase of stabilizing the Swift language and seeing what kinds of things need to be refined to make sure that Swift is even more powerful than it is nowadays. Cool on the article that Alexandre has released is that for some reason iOS 13 is quite sticky. It's hard to get rid of, and there must be reasons for that, and I think that is due to the fact that a lot of people are having an older phone and are not as quick to upgrade their phone if last year or the years before that model is still good enough. Now let's move on to Donny's Monday morning tweet. Leo Jordion has some internet issues, so hopefully that's sorted quickly. And Daniel Steinberg has been working with MusicKit on his radio app, so now it's time to step back and try to come up with his core data schema. And he mentions that he'll probably use Donny's book to get back into some of the concepts. Stuart Lynch has just released a Swift package for Firebase authentication using email and sign-in with Apple. It also includes a password reset and covers delete user Firebase extension. Video and documentation is available at the link that's been shared in the article. Filip Nemecek is doing some indie app catalog homepage design based on hints and concepts from Jordi Bruin, with more coming hopefully next week. Dinesh Kov is updating DOSMO to SwiftUI combine and making a macOS version at the same time. And Pierre is working on a multi-tool utility app for macOS. It's made with SwiftUI and AppKit, and it's called Fugus. Emilio is working on his weekend project, and it was a pure SwiftUI particle emitter using Timeline View and Canvas. And he's signaling that it's working out really well for him, and he has also some source code available on GitHub. And then there's Kern Jackson, planning on releasing a small update a day for this tiny app and video blog series. It's primarily for his own benefit, but maybe someone else can get something out of it as well. And Kindred98 is saying that he's learning Java, so I'm very curious what this is about, but Kindred mentions that he has no clue at all how to work with Java, so there's still hope for him. Janosch Hübner mentions that he got the update out and he makes use of async await MusicKit core data, and it has been rewritten from scratch, and it's an update on a Music Day app. And Vladimir just opened the macOS public beta of TaskFlow, and there was a lot of stuff to do. Multiple window support, significant UI changes to make the app feel more at home on macOS. And finally, Marcus mentions that he released a new game today, and it's at marcusholland.com/invasion. You can imagine what this game is about. And that's it for this week. So if you have any feedback or comments, contact me on Twitter @AppForce1, And I'm still looking for guests for my podcast. So if you or you know somebody else who would like to join my podcast, reach out, let me know. And I'm very happy to accommodate some new more guests at this point in time. So, that's now finally it. Talk to you again next week. And have a fun and safe Christmas break. And next week we'll probably talk a little bit more about what I ate during Christmas. Not going to be something super special, but still with the family we'll try and make something out of it. So it's a interesting situation, but we'll persevere and make sure that we have a fun time regardless. Talk to you again next week. Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI and EPUB format. appforce1.net/lead developer. All one word.